Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 16, which is entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 51. Aham
vai
sarvabhutani
bhuta
atma bhuta bhavana
sabda
brahma
param brahma
mama
ube
sashvati
tanu
aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhuta bhavana
shabda brahma param brahma
Namo be shasvati tanu
Aham vai sarva bhutani
Bhutatma bhuta bhavana
Shabda brahma param brahma
Namo be shasvati tanu
Aham vai sarva bhutani
Bhutatma bhuta bhavana
Shabda brahma param brahma
Mamo besha svati tanu
Messages.
Thank you.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Sarva Bhutani.
Expanded in different forms
of living entities. Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities, the supreme director and enjoyer of them. Bhuta Bhavana, the cause for the manifestation of all living entities. Sabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration. The Hare Krishna mantra. Param Brahma, the supreme absolute truth. Mama,
my,
ube,
both,
namely the form of sound and the form of spiritual identity. Shasvati, eternal, Tanu, two bodies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Please repeat. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And I am the supreme absolute truth. Do these two forms of mine, namely, the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So the purport is a little long, so we will do it in some parts and have some discussion in between. This pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj, the king, came about because King Parikshit, after hearing from Srila Sukadev Goswami the pastime of Vritrasura, he was wondering, how is it possible that a demon as Vritrasura could become such an exalted devotee? So, due to this question, which King Parikshit asked to Sukadeva Goswami after hearing the story, after hearing the pastime of Vritrasura, then as a result, Sri Sukadeva Goswami explained the previous life of Vritrasura as King Chitraketu. And of course we know the more or less the pastime, King Chitraketu couldn't have a child, although he had millions of wives. And still it was not possible. And then one day, by the Lord's arrangement, Angira Rishi passed by, and he saw that the king was not very happy. And then the sage, Angira Rishi, he made the arrangement, did the yagya, and then the wife, Kritadyuti, she could then become pregnant. But one thing, the king didn't pay so much attention on what the sage said, because he said that this child, this son that will take birth, will be your source of happiness, but also lamentation. So he basically heard only the first part of what he said, because he was so focused on having a child, on having a son, being looking forward for having a descendant in his royal, so that he wouldn't disappoint the ancestors, and it was expected from such an important king to have a son, so that the royal kingdom could descend down to his son, etc. So, but then, for some reason or other, then the son was poisoned by the other many wives who were basically had difficulty why, you know, this the first queen, Kritadyuti, had to be so prominent in the life of the king, being the mother of the son. So for them it was unbearable, and as a result they poisoned the child. So then when the child was poisoned, his whole world fell apart, because he had been so much anchoring to have a son, and then finally he had a son and he became so happy. Everybody became so happy. But then when the son was being poisoned, then his whole dream, his whole air castle fell apart, and as a result he was so deeply lamenting. He was practically, he and his wife, they were practically at the point of leaving their body. They were not just lamenting, they were devastated, totally devastated. And then again, by Krishna's arrangement and by the transcendental understanding of the Lord, how to help his dear devotee, King Chitraketu, then again Angira came along with Narada Muni, and basically they started preaching to King Chitraketu about the relevance of what had happened to them. And not only that, but they also reawakened, Narada Muni reawakened the sun for a moment, and then the sun, who had already left the body, came back, and and then he started speaking very philosophical understanding of the situation of basically every living entity, basically saying that, you know, I've had so many mothers and fathers in my existing. Why should I be so, you know, caught up with this life? Basically saying that he was, you know, basically saying, I do not understand why you are lamenting so much for my departure. Because this was just one of the many, many lives that I had to be lamenting so much for me. I'm eternal. I've had thousands of mothers and thousands of fathers. I've been an insect, I've been an animal, I've been a human being, I've been in the higher planets, in the lower planets, I've been everywhere. So what is the big thing here? Why are you so depressed for my departure? So this type of, you know, instead of waking up and embracing his mother and father, oh, finally, you know, we are back together, and I love you so much, and I was missing you so much. The whole opposite took part. And that very fact of his reaction of a young son of, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, it made such an impression on the parents. And that, together with the presence of Narada Muni being there, and Angira being there, and who spoke the same language, it was a wake-up call for King Chitraketu. And it completely, you know, cut the ties, the emotional bonds with that he had with his son. And he could see, you know, how these things are temporary, and how these things are not worth of becoming totally depressed and practically dying from it as a result. So then Narada Muni instructed him further into giving him the prayers which he could then speak to the Lord, and which would reestablish his lost relationship with the Lord. And Narada Muni made him also understand that if he would speak these prayers with sincerity and intensity, then he would reestablish his relationship with the Lord, and even to the point that he would be able to see the Lord. So King Chitraketu took this prayers very seriously, and from that moment onwards that he had received this instruction, and that, because King Chitraketu was already the devotee of the Lord, just that he put certain accents on the wrong place, so to say. It's not that he was, you know, that he had totally no connection. He already was you know, a devoted person, and he already had devoted himself to the Lord, just that he misunderstood that relationship with his son and the family ties, and so he gave that so much importance, which was out of place, because he should have given his relationship with the Lord, that he should have given the highest importance, and the most important relationship, that's what he should have done. So now he had the opportunity, through the prayers that Narada Muni told him to recite, so he basically continuously chanted these prayers, and he was fasting, and he was very intense in his prayers. And as a result, already within 1 week, the King Chitraketu was able to see Lord Sankarshan, who came personally to meet him as a result of his intense prayers. And then when he met the Lord, then of course it was a shock for him to suddenly be faced with the Lord and the four Kumaras. And so then at that very moment, then his voice choked up, and he was in ecstasy. He couldn't speak a word, and whatever remaining attachments to this material world, whatever remaining attachments were remaining in his heart, they also vanquished. And so he was completely pure, and then when that moment, these moments of shock and ecstasy, then again his voice came back, and then he started glorifying the Lord with prayers and explaining the Lord's position, actually. And then when after the Lord being praying, after King Chitraketu being praying to the Lord, then the Lord, at the end of his prayers, he reciprocated. And yesterday was the first reciprocation, the verse of yesterday, where the Lord said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you will become completely aware of transcendental knowledge, because you are now educated in the spiritual science. You have seen me face to face, therefore you are now completely perfect. And then the verse of today is the second intervention of the Lord, reply of the Lord to his prayers. All living entities, moving and unmoving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and I am the absolute, the supreme, absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So then Srila Prabhupada, in the first part of the purport, he says, the science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step. And when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pumarto Maham, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. So the Lord explains here and that the process, and so Prabhupada confirms that through this process then one can develop pure devotional service. And also Sri Prabhupada explains that Kardama Muni's wife, Devahuti, she was the queen. She was actually from a royal family, and she was very brought up all the time with servants and, you know, and a lot of opulence all the time. And then suddenly, by the Lord's providence, her father brought her to Kardama Muni, who was living a very simple and very ascetic life. And he brought her to marry Kardama Muni. And then Devahuti, she had the ability to adjust herself, although having such a background, she had the ability to adjust herself to become a very menial servant of Kardama Muni. All the simple things, she was not, you know, she was used to make herself up as a princess with all the help of the other maid servants, but in this case she simply served him by herself without anybody else. She was serving her husband, who was leading a very simple, sober life, living in a hut, living in the forest, and she was able to do that. And follow her husband's instructions and please him by serving him. And she became very thin, and she was wearing very simple clothes, very simple lifestyle, very simple eating, very simple everything she was doing for him. And Kardama Muni was so pleased that, and that's what Sri Prabhupada refers to, that she received Prema Pumartu Maham. She came on the platform of love of Godhead. By the mercy of Kardama Muni, she received his mercy, because she was able to adjust herself so much and become a menial servant of him, that as a result, by his association, example, instructions, she was elevated to the platform of love of Godhead. So when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, tadāmi buddhiyoham tam yena mam upayantite. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. So, Sri Prabhupada is referring to the verse in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. To those who are constantly devoted, and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And then the next verse in Bhagavad Gita says, out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So the Lord is within the core of our heart. Nobody is as close as the Lord to us, to all living entities. Not just us humans, but all living entities in the core of their heart have the Supreme Lord as the Super Soul. So, and those who dedicate their life through devotional service to the Lord gives what they lack. He gives them the understanding, the instruction, how to progress in spiritual life. Because he's already situated in our heart. It is a question of being able to understand the Lord, and that comes from following the process of Krishna consciousness. Because that's the process Sri Prabhupada gave to all of us to perform devotional service in so many ways, by the chanting of the holy name, by the practical devotional service, by associating with devotees, by taking association of seniors, by taking prasadam. So many ways in the process of Krishna consciousness lead to devotional service. And devotional service means purification of the heart, following the instructions of the spiritual master, who is the external Paramatma, who leads us to properly following, and then our heart becomes purified to the point that, as we see here in this example from Chitraketu, and so many examples are there in the scriptures, where we see that through the following of the process, the purification takes place to the point where our heart becomes pure, to the point that we can hear, that we can understand the instructions of the Lord. As we know, Sri Prabhupada, he was very keen on reading his own purports, because Krishna had spoken these purports in his heart, and that's why Sri Prabhupada was so keen on reading them afterwards. Because Sri Prabhupada, having a pure heart, he could then give the right instructions in the form of his purports, and then afterwards he could hear this, his own purports, and relish the transcendental purports. So that is the effect what we see here also with King Chitraketu. The purport continues, the essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substances. One is real and the other being illusory or temporary is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva or truth consists of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yak jnanam advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti sabjati. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan combined, these three features combined are the real substance. The categories of non-substance are two, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to pious life of material activities performed during the day and mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities, which are something like the will or the wisp. Unwanted activities. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove this in the laboratories throughout the world, although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma. So I will have to stop here. If there is maybe one question or comment, then please. Yes, please.
You're mentioning the how Srila Prabhupada gave so many instructions in his books, in his purports, and it reminded me of how whenever he was asked who will run ISKCON after you leave, he would always say that everything is there in my books. I've given them all my instructions. So at first face value, when we look at that, we think it's pretty simple that you just simply, if you have an issue, you simply find what Srila Prabhupada said about it and then follow that instruction, and we have the detailed devotional service being carried out. But then we found that when an issue would come up, a lot of times people would be able, there would be Prabhupada would say one thing and seemingly say something else. You know, like a devotee would say, I was with Srila Prabhupada's secretary in 1976, and he said in his room that devotees cannot eat chocolate. It's absolute. Eating chocolate is forbidden in ISKCON. And then another devotee may say, well, I was with Srila Prabhupada in Switzerland in 1972, and I gave Srila Prabhupada some chocolate, and he not only ate it, he said it was very nice. And then, you know, should women be mothers or masters, or should we wear Vaishnava clothing, or should we wear Western clothes? And all these issues come up, and somebody can quote Prabhupada saying one thing and then seemingly say the exact opposite somewhere else. So how is it that we can conclude what Prabhupada's really wanting to say? Like, is it, you were talking about how the super soul is connected, or, you know, how do we conclude the when you have different opinions coming from the same source, and how do you conclude what the Siddhanta is? The
I will not go into the topic of chocolate, but there is time and circumstances. Is there and will always be there. So that's why, to my understanding, Sri Prabhupada set up the GBC body to make an ultimate body that would replace him to the best of their ability in his absence. So, and also, of course, there is, you know, there are the learned and wise devotees, the spiritual masters who have a better and deeper understanding in how to balance different situations, which on one hand are described in the scripture, but there is time and circumstances, and in there is also the individuality of the devotee, where he is situated, and according to his situation, he needs to be helped, to be inspired, to move to the next level. So that will always remain. You know, our Krishna consciousness is a very personal movement, and instructions according to time, place, and circumstances will remain, but for all of us who study Srila Prabhupada's books, we have very strong guidance and guidelines, and very strong and deep and personal understanding of the scriptures, which will help us to overcome and even to solve this type of things which are difficult to understand, or which may even seem to be contradictory to some extent. But all by all, I think Sri Prabhupada left everything, his books and his movement, and all this together can take care of these problems. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Radha Madhava ki jai. Sri Panchatattva ki jai.